Hello, everybody. This is Jim from the Entrepreneurial Truth Podcast, and you're listening to The Path to Podcast Success.
Welcome to another amazing episode of The Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Hey, Jim, thank you so much for being willing to jump on today. I'm excited for our conversation.
Me too. I've been podcasting for a little while now, and I have three shows I'm doing right now. And I thought this was a great opportunity to talk about what we do as podcasters and why we do it and things like that. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that you're looking forward to it, because that's exactly what we'll be talking about. But I like to start off in the same place with all my guests, and that is by asking you, what was your biggest fear when you first started podcasting, and did that fear end up coming true?
I think it was that no one would listen. I didn't have a problem with my voice. I didn't have a problem being on camera because I also do video. I just didn't have those kind of hangups, but I did think, you know, what if I put it out there, just no one listens, you know? Just nobody there. It's like crickets or something. You know what I mean? So yeah, right. I guess that was my biggest thing, you know, and how to overcome some of the technological challenges and issues that pop up from time to time. And we've had to do a lot of revamping, I guess you want to call it. So Yeah, those are the issues right there.
What happened? Did it come true? Did people listen, or were there crickets?
No, people listened. On my Detroit Lions podcast, we had 127,000 downloads, and I was like 6,000 a week for a few weeks that were into it. So it's a podcast I still do, but we've changed and we've transitioned to YouTube instead now. Mm. So we do a YouTube channel. We also do the podcast because it's on iHeartRadio. Yeah, it's on iHeartRadio and Spotify and all those things, and also on video. So it's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that that didn't work out, or that the fear didn't come true, because I've had a lot of people who've come to me who you know, have those hangups when they're looking to start a podcast. Hangup of, well, why would I do this, right? Why would people listen? Will people listen? And you're not the first person to say that they had that fear, and you're also not the first person to say that the fear didn't come true. So I'm happy that you're another success story in that people actually listen. So you said you have three podcasts. Tell us a little bit about what are the three podcasts you have, and what, out of curiosity, what order did you start them in?
Okay, so the Lions podcast was first. And me and my buddy were sitting there, and we always talk about the Lions, the Detroit Lions NFL football team. Always talk about them, you know, we're always kind of complaining because they suck, and we know they suck. But it's like, how do we ever get better, and how do we do what Kansas City did and win a championship? So it evolved from us just having normal conversations about it. So, well, why don't we just start a podcast? We sit there and we kind of complain about, I think this could be something that people might be interested in. And so then we started that. I had a lady from a radio station who did the intro for the podcast and stuff like that. And so I mixed that myself in Audacity and put it out there, and it did pretty good. We had big guests on and local beat writers. A guy from the Detroit Free Press was on. We had Mike Rothstein from ESPN, which we're actually going to have him on again Sunday night. So that was the first one. The second one was called the Entrepreneurial Truth Podcast, and it was a thing where I don't know if I want to go into the whole story, but I got really sick. And during that time, I had just a lot of time to read and a lot of time to study and a lot of time to learn about entrepreneurship because it was something I was very interested in. To date, I have 95 podcasts done. I think I have 94 out. It's a video and also a normal podcast where it's on iTunes and iHeartRadio and all that stuff, Spotify. So that was the second. That was the second one I did, and I started that September 25th. And we already have 95 episodes. So,
oh wow! Okay.
There was a lot of people that flocked to that. So that was a good one. And then I just started a new one because a guy in Texas wanted to be mentored, and I said, okay, you know, I could do that. He said, I really think if I do one, I could learn more by doing it. I says, well, what topics do you like? So we came up with pro wrestling before the Steve Corino virus came up, and he's a wrestler, don't worry about it. So, you know, so we came up with Wrestling with Morons, which is the title of the podcast. And it is a good time. I mean, it's one of those that I just kind of throw caution to the wind and just have fun with.
Mm-hmm.
My Lions one's pretty serious because the Lions community is a very serious community about that team. Entrepreneurism is a serious topic, but wrestling's kind of fun, you know. It's fake. It's not real. We all know that. And we go into the behind the scenes stuff, and we make fun of some of it, you know, and have a good time. And it was the best way for him to learn. So I'm gonna have to teach him editing and all that stuff. We only have 3 episodes out of it, so it just came out. So it's brand new. But yeah, those are the 3 I have and kind of why they happened.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's awesome. So I like, when did you start the Lions one?
2014.
Oh, wow. So you had that one for a while and then you started entrepreneurship one in September of this year.
We stopped doing the Lions one for a while. We came back strong in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's been going since?
Doing it. Yeah, it's been going since we kind of broke off for a little bit. There was a little lull there for a little while, but then we came back pretty strong now.
Okay. So just so I have the full picture of how everything fits together, what is like your job? What do you do for money? Are you an entrepreneur yourself then?
Yes. I do websites. I have multiple sources of income. I'll put it that way. I got a lot of things that I do. You know, so because I have those skills, people pay for those, and you know, I don't do too bad with that. So,
right.
You know, website building can be a pretty lucrative thing. So that's what I do there. I also have on my podcast where people pay to be on my show. On the entrepreneurial one, they do pay to be on my show. They get to pitch their products and all this and talk about their journey and how that it's not always a easy road. It's a winding road. It's something that is, there's no overnight successes. There's mm-hmm. turmoil. There's all kinds of intrigue because of the fact that every human life is different and everybody's journey is different. And everybody's fears are different on the inside. And your business becomes a mirror for who you are on the inside. And so you have to go through all these struggles and bring all this real this junk from the inside up in until you can get it out. And when you have to go through that, it's always different levels. When you get to another level, you got to fight something else that's inside of you. And so it is this kind of like prize fighter type thing where it's like, round 1, round 2, round 3, and these are going up and getting more and more, I guess, stable in your income because the entrepreneurial journey is kind of a roller coaster in that sense. You know, as you build yourself up on the inside, all of a sudden it starts just coming in for you because you finally figured it out. And so people are very passionate on that show and they share their stories. And lady that was had cancer, her husband left her, and she was sexually assaulted during this and now becomes the micro video queen, you know, in on the internet. So I had her on. I had a lady that was called the Suitcase Entrepreneur, and she's pretty popular in New Zealand and around the world. And she has a lot of programs out there and books and things, but it wasn't always roses for her either. You know, it's right. Interesting where you see how these people get their start, what they're doing. I have people that have been really, really famous to, you know, you have no idea who these people are.
Right, right.
But it's a deep dive, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. What first motivated you to start the podcast? So I assume the business came, you know, before the podcast. What made you first decide it? I know that you had had Lion's show before, mm-hmm. but what kind of motivated you to think about launching an entrepreneur one related to, you know, your business?
Crazy one. This is kind of a crazy thing. There was a little like a shake place. It's a Herbalife shake place. It's here in Grand Haven, right pretty close to us. And I'd go in there and I'd talk business with the person because I was actually working full time at the time, you know, working for a factory and just doing what I do, you know, as a trainer at this factory, local factory here. And I'd go in every morning and I'd get my little thing and I'd talk to them about their business and they would talk to me about their business and, you know, that type of thing. And it got to the point where I was trying to consult a little bit and help out. And I thought, well, this is a lot of fun, you know? So we came up with the idea because I was already doing the Lions podcast and I thought, I would really like to interview people that run businesses and get their not necessarily the success stories, but the ones that had some trauma in them, the behind the scenes truth of the entrepreneurial journey. And so it really interested me to see the behind the scenes of what the guys were going through as they're being so nice and happy to everyone else. But, you know, they're having problems keeping the lights on sometimes, you know, not really, but you know what I'm saying? Business is business. And sometimes you have difficulties and how do you reach people and how do you get more customers and how do you, you know, increase that bottom line so that you're profiting and you know, one guy had his wife and had a kid at the time and she had another kid. It's like, can I put all this time into this and still succeed and not lose my family, you know, in a way? So there was just a lot of intriguing things behind the scenes that people generally don't see. So I was like, I want to do something about that because I think that's interesting. I think people would like the human side of people that have attempted to be entrepreneurs or that are and are successful or they're right in the middle of it. We've had all kinds from each end of the spectrum on the show.
Right. And this, I like that because that's usually not the side that people like to share, right? Because you'll scroll through Facebook or something and you'll see all the entrepreneurs posing with the Lamborghini or with a mansion mm-hmm. or a penthouse or with like a stack of cash or something. And yeah, that's great. You know, people can have that stuff, but as, you know, an entrepreneur myself and one who doesn't have a Lamborghini, right, or the penthouse or whatever.
Yeah, neither do I.
but like what I'd want to see from those people, I'd want to see the not so glamorous side of what they've done, the struggles that they've had to go through and how they overcame them, as opposed to just, I'm awesome now. I have this huge successful business. Here are a couple tips. Everything's cool. You know, that's not the most valuable part of someone's story, I feel like. So it's interesting. And I'm glad to hear that you're highlighting those more difficult stories, the harder parts to share that
and
people don't
usually
share.
In those stories, you get the answer to some of your questions because there's so many different people. I have one lady that she tried to commit suicide. And she was committed to a mental ward for a little while and then goes on to be an award-winning blogger. You know, I mean, it's just amazing the turnaround or the things that happen to people. And sometimes that's their why even, you know, as to why they did it or why they're doing what they do. And she was actually doing editing and all that stuff. And everybody kind of kicked her to the curb because of the mental issues. And we talk about mental health a little bit in that one. And the stigma that's attached to mental health and serving people, because that's a difficult thing for people. They know something about you that's that, you know, that's that deep and that personal. How do they react to you? Do they want to work with you? I mean, do you want to hire someone that has had that issue? you know, or if they're, you had hired them and all of a sudden they're in a mental hospital, they can't do work for you anymore. What does that make you feel? And it's interesting. And it's, like I said, it's deeply personal. And people have come on and shared things that, to me, are just amazing stories.
Yeah, no, those are always the most incredible stories to share. And that's amazing that you've been able to bring out those stories of people. And that really kind of shows and compliments your skill as an interviewer, because it's hard to have people open up in that way. You know what I mean? Especially on a platform where, you know, it's geared for many people listening to it, right? It's not like it's a private therapy session or something
right,
like that.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's a point where I think we talk about it beforehand. And I think it's a point where it's just time for them to get that out there, you know, because my whole thing is when I talk to people, I have a media kit and I send that out and it says, I'm looking for the deep stories of failure, because I want people that watch it to not think that they're a failure, that they're not good enough, that they weren't designed for this in some way, by looking at everybody as human instead of this rock star image that we get for most entrepreneurs. And so we're trying to help people that have that desire or that would like to think that they could become an entrepreneur and do all that. It shows the struggle. It shows the hard part of it. But it also shows that these people are human and did overcome it. And now they've gone on to be successful, and that you can too.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about.
Yeah. And that's incredible. Those stories really do. I mean, they're the best kind of stories to share. You know, it's incredible. Getting to that deep place really, you know, makes a big difference. So I wanted to ask as well, how does your podcast influence your business more specifically? So you had this dream you had this idea to create this podcast, to share these deep, meaningful stories with guests. Does it relate at all to your other business with website design and that kind of stuff?
No, or is it doesn't. Just kind of like a, but I also coach people and stuff like that as well. So there is an aspect to that is helpful, because I've interviewed, like I said, all 95 people right now. And you start to see patterns and you start to see things in a different way when you've heard all those stories. And so, because also that I had studied for all that time, I've been able to help quite a few people, you know, consult for some businesses and to mentor some people and to, you know, to just help people. You know, and I think that's the best thing you can possibly do. So in that sense, yeah, that podcast is directly related to everything I do, because the whole mission is to help other people with that podcast and with what I'm doing with the website design. I'm trying to get the person's message out there, you know, and they want to tell a story through their website. They want to, you know, share their message with the world. And a lot of those messages, the one client I have now, her message is really cool. She has a ranch that she owns out in Colorado, and it's 48 acres of, you know, all this stuff that people can do and therapy to, like, it's energy healings and massages and outdoors and communing with nature and finding your path and getting clarity. In a Native American type setting, which is really, really cool, actually, to see some of the things that they do and the ceremonies and the just the different stuff that goes on that is deeply spiritual. And so I'm making a website for her, and that's getting that message out there to help people to heal, to help people to become, you know, whole again. And it's especially for people who've been through abuse and trauma. And so it's going to be a big deal to help people out because of the virus that's out there. They can't have people there no more. So now they have to create a virtual way to go there and experience that stuff. So that has changed a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah. No, pretty much everybody has to go online in some capacity now.
Yeah.
As a result of what's happening. So yeah. It really forces you to start getting creative in that way.
Well, the Lions show is a passion for me personally because this team has just never done anything. And as I'm getting older, I'm just hoping they win one before I die. Is basically what it is. Anything, you know?
Right. So I wanted to ask, before you started the entrepreneur the show.
Entrepreneurial that, Truth is entrepreneurial what it's called. Truth.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So that's okay.
Launched Entrepreneurial Fine. Truth, did you have an audience that would listen to that? Like, I know you already had an audience with the Lions show.
Nope, but it didn't cross over at all. No, not one bit.
And how
sports
is it doing
fans
now?
Are a whole different animal,
right? How is it
it's doing
now?
Pretty good. Oh, it's doing pretty good. I mean, we have a lot of subscribers. I have a little community on Facebook and stuff like that with the people that have been on the show, and everybody has a different forte or expertise, and it's really cool that I can reach out to these people and say, hey, you want to partner and do something like this, or do you want to partner and do something like that? I'm in talks with someone right now that I'd interviewed recently, and she's a really good in-depth copywriter. You know, if I don't know if sales copy, which means your sales pitch, your emails, your blogs, your message, your bio.
Oh yeah.
And I'm into building the website, so the partnership would be, you know, one person doing the copywriting, getting the written part done, and I'd be doing the technical part and the layout stuff. I think together we could really bring somebody's message out for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's very interesting. So what would be, just so, because I know that, you know, podcast listeners, it's always good to have some actionable advice as well. You were able to get you started the, you know, Entrepreneurial Truth podcast without any kind of prior audience, or at least that, you know, that would relate to that show. The Lions audience doesn't count.
No, it really doesn't.
So you didn't have an audience before, and it sounds like you do now, a fairly sizable one for that show.
No, it's not fairly sizable. It's actually very small.
Okay.
It is. I'm sorry. It's a small community, but the people are so powerful in it to me. And I think that's the difference, because if you have a community, a huge community of listeners, that's great and all, you know, it's good for advertising, it's good for sponsorships and all that stuff. But if you've got a group of people that really want to help each other, and it could be even more income for you to be able to learn from other people, number one, and partner with those people to offer something that's actually useful, that community really wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you're podcasting and you're building an audience, and some of the goals are to get, you know, so many people listening or downloads or hit those numbers, and that's good for, you know, getting some income through sponsorships and advertising and those main things that we usually think of. But you don't necessarily have to use that type of an angle. The way I think about it, what can I do to serve the community that I'm talking to? What value can I bring to them, even in a partnership with somebody else or by myself, that I can give value and get value in return? And that's what you have to think about. You don't have to have a million subscribers to do that. You know, and I think that gets missed, especially if you have like your own informational products, or you have, you know, somebody else's informational products or something like that, or something that you really believe in. Like, say you went through Libsyn and you really like that service, right? And you're talking to the podcast audience about, like, your audience would be interested in podcasting because that's what you talk about. Yeah. So if you offered, you know, Libsyn as an affiliate, and you had an affiliate link through them, there's a small source of income. You know, because you're giving value to people. So it's not necessarily the size of the audience or all this other stuff, or the normal way of trying to produce income podcasting. You have to look at it outside of the box a little bit sometimes.
And I really like how you said that, because I really think the gold of a podcast, right, the best value you can get isn't in sponsorship or affiliate income, even though that is nice. You know, the gold is in the relationships that you build with the people that you get to have on the show and get to talk to. those kinds of relationships, like you said, I mean, I really agree, those kinds of relationships have the potential to bring much more income in the short and long term than something you could sell an audience or something like that. Plus, it's more like having an audience is great, but those are just numbers, like at least to you personally, whereas those relationships, I mean, you're really connecting with someone and getting something out of it. So I think that's definitely a really good way to look at podcasting.
I think also that you have to take, we have to stop looking at things like the conventional way of podcasting, because it takes a pretty long time to build a sizable audience and to get to this number of people so that this person will sponsor you and you can get a little bit of money trickling in. Got to stop looking at it like that. I really believe that. I think if there's any industry that needs to be revamped or upgraded, it's podcasting. No one should be doing this for free. There's a lot of work. You know, you put your time into it, your effort into it, your ideas, all you are. You buy equipment. You buy a good mic. You have a mixer or, you know, however you put your message out there. You have to pay for hosting. You have to pay for this and that. For what? It's almost like the starving artist mentality where it's like, oh, you know, if you charge for this, that's terrible. Oh my gosh. You know, it's not an art form anymore. You know, you do this from your heart. And I get that. But firefighters do that from their heart too, but they get paid. Police officers get paid. Social workers get paid. Professional counselors get paid, even though they love to do it and they're empathetic and things like that. And this is what they wanted to do with their life. To get paid. I think there isn't a problem with podcast hosts getting paid. I don't think there is. And there's a stigma in the community of, oh, why do you do that? Or why do you do it this way? Or why do you charge to be on your podcast? Well, because my time is valuable. And because I do work hard at what I do. And it's not just because, oh, you're greedy and all this. Are you serious? Do you ever go into a store and just take something and leave? Oh. No, it's called stealing, right? You pay for what you want. If you want to put your message out there, fine. Help the other person out too that's putting your message out there. You know, if we all work together, everybody can have what they want.
No.
We have to stop looking at it like it's a taboo. To be paid for what you do.
Have you charged to be on your show since episode one?
No, it started in February. Okay. It started February 1st. And it was only $20. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to sit here I don't want to overcharge people. I want to make it something affordable so that we can meet our monthly expenses. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get rich. You know, and you know how much backlash I got for that. It's incredible in there. It's like, oh my gosh, you don't even have this huge audience. And why would I do that? I've never paid to play. I've heard this so many times now. And I'm like, fine, I'm not for you. No big deal. But I'm not losing sleep, dude.
And so you're able to get, how many episodes a week do you release?
Used to be a lot more than it is right now because I've got so much time invested into the Lions one and the other one and the website building and all the stuff I do. I really have long days. So I would say we put out three a week right now.
Oh, wow.
It was 7 days a week for a while. It
just seven got like too much. Interviews a week.
Oh no, more than that. A lot more than
wow.
That.
Yeah. That's crazy
because I'm doing 10 interviews a week at least. I have one right after this.
That's yeah. Crazy. And so that's crazy. And so you were able to get 10 interviews a week, that many people who are willing to pay
yes.
to be on your show. And are these yep. people you've reached out to or people that come to you?
No, I'll post in groups and Facebook and put that I need, you know, this many people or I need some people for finish out March or to, you know, whatever, go into April, whatever. And people will come back and I send them my little spiel and my media kit. And then I use Calendly and they book an event. And Calendly, you can have people pay to your PayPal. And so that's how I do it.
Wow. Okay. And I think you're the first person I've had on my show who has charged guests to come on the show.
Well, it's funny because John Lee Dumas, it's $6,000-$7,000 to get on his show.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody knew that. I mean, you know, this is actually something that happens a lot. And some people are, I have one guy that he was $299 or something, $299 to be on his show. And it depends on the amount of people that they have and the amount of impact it's going to have for your business. You have to have some sort of return on investment for it as well. So I understand that. And that's why I keep my price really low. Because I don't want people thinking, oh, yeah, you're just trying to make money off of everybody. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to pay the bills, you know.
Right.
Trying to pay for what I actually use. And if I get to go out to eat for it, oh, goodness, no. That would be terrible if I actually, you know, use that money to be able to do something for myself. Right. But if you go to work 40 hours a week and commit all that time to a factory that doesn't really care about you, then it's acceptable to go in and take that money and do what you want because you earned it. But I work just as hard.
Yeah, no, that could be a whole different podcast interview about the different like misconceptions around what work, you know, constitutes successfully earned money, right?
Absolutely. I mean, people do websites professionally. I mean, that's what I do. But people do data entry, right? It's not dissimilar from what we do, really. You know, if you think about it, and they get paid per hour and they can do whatever they want with that money. Should they go in and work for free? I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah, neither would I. Yeah, but that's very interesting that you charge guests like that. Because I've never, like I mentioned, I've never had anyone on my podcast who goes that route with it. And I'm curious, does anything else come out of your podcast as far as other income? Like, I know that most people with a podcast, the money doesn't come directly from the podcast, whether it's a form of charging for guests or affiliate or sponsorship income. It's more like the podcast is the top of a funnel. People come in, and then from the podcast, they end up working with you or buying a product or something. So it's kind of like an indirect.
It's kind of worked that way for me, but it's different because there's different ways of getting paid. And we don't do this anymore in society, but it's a barter system. So if someone has a nice program or product that I really, really like, and the other forms of income that you can get, it's not just, you know, tangible money. See, we used to barter a long time ago. In Mexico, this still goes on where, you know, you could trade stuff back and forth. Well, that happens with entrepreneurs. If they have a nice, really cool course that they got coming out, guess what? I might get to be a part of that course for no charge. And we'll trade different things that we do, or we'll partner in different things that we do to promote each other, you know, and help out. Mm-hmm. I had one lady that was is a pretty good coach. And so she took me and coached me and put me into a program with these other guys that were in the coaching program. And I went through, I think, 6 weeks of I got like almost $400 or $500 worth of, you know, free training and free, you know, course that I really wanted to be a part of. So it's not the only way to make money. It's not the only way to get things that you need to build your own self and your own business. Right. So we have to think, like I said, we got to think outside the box. We can't continue to keep doing the same things that we've been doing podcasting because I'm not young enough to wait for this thing to grow to the point that I can start, you know, doing this other thing. I don't like advertising in the first place. You know, I don't run ads on my show. So, you know, there has to be a way to pay for it. And I do it that way instead of bombarding people with messages that they don't want to hear.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's interesting. That's something that I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't really think about, is that there is a lot of value in bartering like that. Of course, it's valuable to still have money. You do need money, unfortunately.
You have to pay your bills. I get that. But there's occasions where it does work.
Yeah, no, I have one of my clients that exchanged the podcast services for coaching. And it's an ongoing relationship like that. And I think that's very valuable. So, yeah, it's definitely something that can be that can be very valuable if you're willing to, you know, give that a chance. So I like these perspectives that you brought. It's very interesting.
Thank you.
Perspectives that I haven't heard very much before, if at all, from other people I've talked to about podcasting. I talk to a lot of people about podcasting. So it's refreshing to hear something new like this. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I want to ask, because as we begin to wrap things up, I want to ask for some actionable advice for listeners. So I'd like to focus more on like the Entrepreneurial Truth podcast and what your experience has been with that. For those people out there who may have businesses themselves, you know, of all kinds, they're entrepreneurs and they're looking to start a podcast, or maybe they have one, but they're not doing very much with it. What would be one or two pieces of actionable advice that when they stop listening to this interview, they can do right away and go implement?
I would say, number one, know who your audience is. This is one of the biggest things that people fail at. You have to understand who you're talking to talk to them in a way that they're going to want to accept your message. Everyone has a certain frequency that they vibe at, and you're going to get those people that vibe with you, that like your style, that like your voice, that likes your message. But if you can hone in on the people that you want to serve and you know who they are, you can begin to get feedback from them on how your show goes going forward. And what that means is, what kind of topics do they want to listen to? Don't just come up with something and say, I hope they like it. Get a group of people, do a Facebook group. Easiest way to do it. If you know who your avatar is, you invite those people to the group, and now you have a focus group. Now you can start to ask them questions and say, hey, you know what? We're doing this on the Entrepreneurial Truth and the real stories and the real struggle behind that. Is there a certain thing that you would like to hear, or a story, or a thing that, you know, pops up in your mind about this? Just let me know what that would be. Depending on whatever podcast you have, this will work. That way, you're actually putting out content that your audience already wants to hear, instead of throwing mud against the wall, said it nicely, and see what sticks. I think that's a horrible plan. So when you're first starting out, find what we would call your avatar, or the person that listens to your show and wants what you have, and that's the person that you know you want to talk to. Find that person first, and then find other people that are like them, and then get their advice on what you should do. What kind of format do you want? Do you want an audio, video? What would you rather have? What would you rather do? And that way, you're not just treading water for so long. You'll be able to start with some momentum. Secondly, when you have those people, those people start to become feeling that they're a part of what you do. And so those people become fans of yours. Make them feel a part of the program. You can either have them on as guests even, or promote them, or say something about them on your show, because it makes them feel a part of what you're doing. And then they will tell other people and they will help you. They'll become your raving fans and they'll build your audience for you. That's invaluable. Before you start, you want to get a bunch of people like that. You want to get people that are willing to give you a review in iTunes, if that's the format that you want to use. And you really want them to be able to be subscribers to you on YouTube or something like that, to give you that, get the ball rolling, get that momentum going. You don't want to have 19 listeners a week forever. Okay. You know, so start out with the end in mind and build it that way.
I really like that, because only the other day I had someone else talk about the importance of knowing who your avatar is, knowing who you're talking to and who you want to be listening to your podcast, and then eventually, you know, buying your product or whatever. But you went a step further, and it was very interesting. The step further you went was with the Facebook group. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's great to be able to find your avatar, you know, and you don't need a Facebook group to do that. But when you have found it and adding those people to a group so that you have people, so you can directly talk to that avatar, what do they want? And then they tell you, and then you cater to that. I think that that's something very interesting that I haven't, another thing I haven't really heard talked about before, to that extent. And knowing your avatar, that's a lot of people will mention that and talk about that, but you took it a step further. And I think that a lot of people are going to get value from taking it that step further. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And so, Jim, where can people find out more about you if they are interested in what it is that you do?
I'm on Facebook, number one, obviously. I'll give out my email address, and why not? It's the Entrepreneurial Truth Podcast at gmail.com. So you can get a hold of me that way. I'm on YouTube. I'm Spotify, all those things too, if you want to listen. But to get in touch with me for coaching or something like that, can set up a program for you to start being able to reach your perfect audience and to be able to grow your podcast quicker, to be able to have more fans that will grow your podcast for you, be moderators for your group, and help you to get your message out there. If you're interested in that, you can email me. And hopefully we can have something where they can put that in the description or something in the show.
I appreciate that. Definitely. Yeah, no, we'll have all those links in the show notes so people can easily find it. And, you know, I'm sure some people will be able to take you up on that. I think that's a very valuable service that a lot of people would benefit a lot from. So thank you, Jim. I really do appreciate you being willing to take the time to come on and share all this incredible value. So thank you.
You're welcome. I love doing it.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of the Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.